As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!
Hey, welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into, what's it called when you lose your voice? Laryngitis!
Yeah!
Yeah, I'm Gregor from Nerd Talk on all the different Odyssey networks. He used to work at Odyssey, and now he's just making jokes on Twitter. He does this for free. He's Brandon from the internet.
Dude, there's a bird, speaking of things I'm posting
on
Twitter.
Let's go.
There's a bird, a robin specifically, that has made a nest on my front porch.
So cool.
And I posted a picture of the nest, and I posted a picture. I didn't want to like disturb the nest too much, because when it originally started building it, I was like, I gotta get rid of this thing because I don't want this bird on my porch. Like every time I open my front door right now, this bird's just like, oh crap, and then like flies away, you know?
Just wait till there's babies in there and it pecks at your eyes.
That's what I'm like freaking out about, is like as soon as these things start hatching, I'm gonna open the door and it's just gonna dive bomb me instead of flying off my porch. Anyway, like I reached up with my phone and kind of took a picture of inside the nest. And the first day that I did that, there was one egg. The second day I did it, there were two. Later that day, there were three. And as of right now, I haven't checked today, but there's four eggs in there. And I finally, I don't know why it took me this long, but the eggs, because it's a robin, they're blue. And now I know why that color is called robin's egg blue. I totally get it now. I just guess it never made the connection that the robin's eggs were blue. You know what I mean?
Brandon's been to the paint store so he can paint his own nuts and put them up in there so the birds will keep them warm. Robin's egg blue. Well, neither of us is a scientist, apparently, engineer or supervillain.
Yet.
But if you
this guy couldn't put together that robin's egg blue was because the robin's eggs were blue. Okay.
Let us know what we get wrong, or better yet, if we hear something that we get right. And also, I don't need any commentary about how bad my voice sounds today, because I've been sick for like 10 days since we did this last week. I've been ill, and it's stupid, and I hate it. Also, if you could tell a friend, that'd be great.
Yeah.
But how much the guy at the beginning yells at you, that'd be nice. You could write a review, share one of our social media posts, or just holler at us with your answer to this episode's
question of the week. Which is, what color is Robin's egg blue? No, really, it's the same color as the blue drink that I'm drinking right now.
Baja Blast, really yum.
Close. Yeah, no, it's cool blue. Blue is out of flavor, Michael. If two parts of your body got swapped, what is the most annoying combination that you can think of? Right now, I'm figuring if I could swap my larynx with Gregor's larynx, that would be really annoying.
I think of your own body is the idea.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Okay. If I could swap two parts of... All right. Question of the week. If two parts of your body got swapped, what's the most annoying combination that you can think of that doesn't require any sort of like gross human centipede antics? Like, I don't want the answers to that.
Yeah. No one wants that. But
so like, what's an example? So, I'm thinking instantly right arm and left arm, if you put those on the other side, like, that would be super annoying.
Had an arm for a leg for an arm and an arm for a leg.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Immediately, it's like the condition is you can't do the human centipede stuff. And I'm like, but I could do one. It could be mouth or pooper. One of the
human. I've always found this interesting, is before I say it, you are from New Mexico.
Fact.
And I am from Washington State.
The internet.
Now, we call, yeah, from the internet, really, which was invented here. I actually don't know that that's true.
No.
Seattle invented everything.
Yeah.
Now, the question is,
it's
what do you call...
It's the center of the known world.
What do you call that bug that curls itself up over itself and has a shield? You find it under logs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What do you call that bug? Because whatever you call that bug, that is what I'm imagining as the single person human centipede.
Let me just get my thread and my needle here, all right? And ow! Ow! Oh, ow! I should have showered first. Ow!
But what do you call that bug? I'm genuinely interested.
I've had this conversation recently. They must be making a comeback, the roly-poly.
Okay. Yeah, I called it a potato bug.
Oh, potato bug. I've also heard pill bug. And then I Googled pill bug, and that was not what I saw a picture of. Also, man, insects are scary.
Dude, they're so weird. It's like even like the pretty ones, you know? You're like a butterfly, cool. And then you get like the close up and you're like, oh my God, that's every alien that I've ever been scared of.
Horrendous. Yeah. They're terrible creatures. Anyway. Okay, so this week I thought we'd start off with a state worse than Washington, but better than New Mexico. It's the state of Texas.
Arguably worse than
New Mexico.
Yeah.
I describe New Mexico as a... today, the Washington state is the sixth worst for distracted driving. New Mexico's number one. And I was like, well, yeah, when you're drunk driving, trying to take pictures of aliens in a wasteland that used to be the ocean floor, what do you expect? So,
oh, yeah, the sunset's beautiful, man. And then, blah, blah, blah.
No, I didn't drive my car off the road. It wasn't the booze. It was the aliens. Anyway.
Not to bring up a traumatic experience, but didn't you, like, severely break your leg in New Mexico while potentially distracted driving?
In Tucson, Arizona.
Oh, Arizona. And okay, never mind.
Was not distracted driving. I was just an upstanding 20-something, 21-year-old driving his mother's Mercury Sable with a mohawk. I had the mohawk, not the car. Although that would be...
Okay, thank you for clarifying.
That would be sick, for sure.
That would be sick.
Anyway, to the state of Texas, they're going to take 25% of their peak load electrical grid and dedicate it to crypto mining, says a story that is at Bloomberg.com. They also plan to tell you all about it drunk at parties. So...
This is the country that, like, can't figure out if it's or not the country, the city, that's the state, whatever.
Let me make
geography.
A sick burn about something here real quick and get it. Yeah, okay, good. Go.
This is the state, right?
Yeah.
This is the state that can't figure out, like, if it's too cold, it can't figure out its power load.
Yeah.
And if it's too hot, it can't figure out its power load. So it's just determined that at its peak power load, they're going to take 25% of it and dedicate it to something that is super unsustainable as far as, like, as far as the climate goes, as far as, like, power is considered.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, all of you poors in the south of Houston don't need power. We're going to make Bitcoin.
Overseeing the project, Bernie Madoff. So there you go. There's a good Ponzi scheme joke for everybody. Yeah. That I sort
there's
of
a great joke for anybody listening to this 10 years ago.
What are you talking about? Those are all of my jokes. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I don't have any fresh
Let
references.
Me tell you about my Mercury saving.
Mercury Sable, asshole.
Sable, whatever.
Yeah, get it right. If you're going to make the burn, get it right. Anyway.
I don't even know what state of Mercury Sable is.
What's the country that started doing it? Is it like
Peru?
Peru started doing it.
And
they're going to do, in order to make the energy, they're going to build their servers that run off of like
geothermal power.
Geothermal
right?
is
like
the
based
word.
Off
yeah.
the
volcano.
Volcanic heat.
Yeah, which is like smart. It's a good way to take excess heat and do something with it, not rob your poorest people of the chance at equity.
I mean, that's the whole thing is like I'm not aware of, at least in Peru, of extreme temperatures making it required for them to do rolling blackouts. But then again, I'm not aware of much of anything in Peru other than the fact that like guinea pigs are there and they make really cool alpaca soft sweaters and apparently this volcanic heat thing. But like at least it's that excess power. I mean, like the last 2 years in a row, any sort of extreme weather, and for Texas, that's not saying much.
Yeah.
Like my sister-in-law and brother-in-law live in Texas, and they live in the west of Texas, and they have to deal with, like, I mean, he showed me a video from his office of what just looked like the scene from The Mummy when the sand just rolls in as a gigantic wall. Shout out to Brendan Fraser.
That's up, dummy.
And, like, you're just going to rob... it's not excess power. If they could find a way to turn sand walls into power for crypto mining, then great. But as far as I know, they're not doing that.
Hey, did you know that Ukraine is about 90% the size of Texas?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, isn't that wacky? Yeah. Texas, the second biggest state in the United States, I think.
Invade Texas is what you're saying? I don't.
No, the Russians are not invading Texas. No, that's not. Yeah. No, I got to double check that, but I don't know. Last I checked, also Peru, Raul Ruiz Diaz, right?
Yeah, the best.
Yeah, okay, that's a soccer player. And two, that crypto thing was going terribly wrong. So good. In other futuristic Texas news, researchers at UT Austin have created an enzyme that will eat plastic in landfills. This is a process to break down plastic that normally takes like unimaginably long, but they could do it in just a few days or weeks if they were able to make this thing at scale. And it's way better than Texas's previous plan to just shoot the plastic until it's gone.
Just like Yosemite Sam. It's kind of interesting to me because I live in the part of
the Texas
Washington.
Of Washington. Yeah,
I live in the Texas of Washington. Yeah, I was gonna say I live in the part of Washington that's the most like Texas. And on my way, I went mountain biking this morning, and on my way there, there's a massive billboard that says plastic recycling is a myth. Which is just very Texas of Washington.
Well, so the thing that's about that is that it depends on what side put it up, I guess, because the far left wants you to recognize that oil is the enemy and that the oil companies are the one that said, no, we could recycle it. And instead, they just have a very large rug that they're just scraping all the plastic under called the Pacific Ocean.
Right.
But then other people are like, don't make me recycle. You can't make me put a thing outside. Yeah. That's fascism or socialism or whichever one we're going to throw out there.
Now, the other part of me thinks that there's something about this enzyme that we're like, oh, cool, we've made an enzyme that eats plastic.
Yeah.
It's like, great, this enzyme is going to eat its way through the landfill into the Earth's core, eat the Earth's core, and then turn us into a black hole.
I've thought this
like
through
that.
Actually pretty significantly. It's going to eat all that stuff up, and then it's going to somehow, this is also coming from a place of very, very little research. It's going to eat up all the plastics in there, and then it's going to still be hungry, and it's going to grow as it's eating, as you just keep feeding it. And then, of course, what are we going to do in the Texas of Eastern Washington is we're going to nuke it, right?
And then
once you nuke it, then the enzyme that eats plastic is now radioactive and a monster, and you get American Godzilla, a.k.a.
You want the blob?
This is how Godzilla.
You get the blob.
Blobzilla. Yeah.
Blobzilla.
It's going to happen. And it sounds awesome.
Yeah. This is very
Again,
similar to
it
a
it goes
lot of
back
things.
To just shoot it.
Have you ever seen there's probably not because you don't see movies. There's a kids movie that and I'm like I really enjoy all movies including children's movies.
Sure.
And there's one called Monsters vs. Aliens and it's hilarious. Seth Rogen plays a quote unquote blob monster that is very, very funny in it.
When you say monsters, is it like Monsters Inc. Monsters versus aliens?
No, it's like monsters like a Gigantus and like a Hugh Laurie plays a cockroach or a doctor that accidentally turned himself into a cockroach.
Yes.
And then there's a blob and then there's an alien invasion and it's kind of like Suicide Squad for kids where they have to say we need the monsters to fight off these aliens and then like one of them's just like a high jello, which is Seth Rogen playing
of
the
course.
Blob. His name is Bob in the movie.
Bob Blob.
Bob's Loblog?
What is it? Bob Loblong? Is that the...
Bob Loblong's Loblog.
From the Oblongs, Bob Oblong? Is that his name?
Yeah. I think it's something like that. Yeah. So anyway, it sounds like we're creating Blobzilla. So as long as it eats all the plastic, good?
Yeah.
I suppose.
I'm into it. I still like the idea of just shooting at it, though. That's where I'm at. All right, so it's another one of these wonderful combinations that we keep coming across. The Jones Soda, I think, making Thanksgiving flavors or something like that, and people making ramen-flavored soda and whatnot. Well, in 2015,
Kraft,
I guess Kellogg's...
Kraft mac and cheese ice cream.
There you go. I guess in 2015, Kellogg's did a survey that found a ton of people skipped putting milk in their cereal and instead used orange juice. And I don't even know how to respond to that. That's... I guess Tropicana does, though, and they're developing their own breakfast cereal called Tropicana Crunch. It's a honey almond cereal that goes perfectly paired, not with pears, rather with a nice bowl of OJ.
Okay.
It's going to launch they're going to launch it just in time tomorrow. They're going to launch it tomorrow, I guess, just in time for National Orange Juice Day on May the 4th.
So National Orange Juice Day is the same as
Star Wars Day. Yeah.
Star Wars Day.
Yeah, May the 4th be with you. What are you doing? Right. Who's behind this? Like Palpatine? That guy doesn't have teeth.
Well, I mean, maybe the orange juice being acidic, maybe that's where they got the enzyme that eats the plastic cereal.
Mine didn't come with a toy. The enzymes ate it.
This is actually really cool, in my opinion. Like, maybe we've not been thinking outside of the cereal box enough to think about, like, what, you know, like, at the end of the day, I always think about breakfast like this, that breakfast is basically just a combination of a carb and a dairy. So you've got like bagels and cream cheese, butter and toast, cereal and milk, right? Like you have all of the, and then you've got all of the other things like eggs and avocado, blah, 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 right? But like, why, like thinking about the other liquids, not those ones, think about the other liquids.
That's for later.
That's for later in this show. The other liquids that you can pair with other things. It's like, we're not talking about, and I'm assuming this is not what Kellogg's or Tropicana is talking about, is putting orange juice in your Cinnamon Toast Crunch. They're probably talking about a type of cereal that they can throw in there, and it's going to taste not terrible. It's like going to complement the orange juice, right?
I think people put it in all sorts of things, though. Their creation. Like, the one they're making is probably flavor paired for it, so people will try it. But like,
well, and that's what I'm saying.
It's I'm sure there are monsters out there who put it in there. You know, Fruit Loops or whatever. Yeah.
Well, but maybe Fruit Loops are good with or like, I don't know. I used to, there was, do you ever have a Godfather's where you grew up? Like the pizza place?
Yeah, I don't remember.
It's kind of like a round table. Like they had the buffet style, right? Where everybody could get pizza and your healthy cousin could go get salad and whatever.
Yeah, sure.
They also had chocolate pudding.
Go
on
get
this
it,
buffet.
Margaret.
And so I would always go do this, carrot. I would get carrots, and one time I accidentally got some carrots in my chocolate pudding, and then I was like, oh, that's weird. And then I ate it and I was like, oh my gosh, this is incredible.
Well,
like, carrots and chocolate pudding.
Carrot makes the best cake. I mean, like, I don't want to get into a cake fight right now, but carrot cake's the best cake. That's just like all there is to
it.
Well,
I was like, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I mean, this is coming from the guy that didn't know that robin egg blue was because the robin's eggs were blue, right?
Yeah,
so like, carrot and chocolate makes a lot of sense, but I felt like I had just discovered something.
It's like blue, and Brandon's like, I just don't get it.
Yeah, I feel like this now as a parent of a child makes me think that like some kid just would, like, mom was making them breakfast and some kid took the orange juice and was like, like, put it in the cereal, and your mom's like, well, that's what you're gonna eat now. And then the kid was like, no, this is actually dope.
I want that again tomorrow, mom.
Yeah. And then the mom was like, actually, you're right, this is great. And then it became a trend on some like mom TikTok hashtag, and then now Kellogg's or Tropicana, whoever it is trying to like do the thing. So I'm actually, for one, most of the time these food combos really bother me, but this time my curiosity is piqued.
I feel like the American Dental Association is behind this. They're like, oh, that explains it. The chairman of the board, Emperor Palpatine.
Obviously.
Good. Quick Googling here, and that's what we figure out. A German teenager / coding necromancer, oh boy, has raised MySpace from the dead. I mean, read it about it at Nerdist.com. The kid named An wants to make a place with a retro look and feel for people to just, hold up. Retro.
Old. He's calling us old. Yeah, it's
MySpace isn't even 20 years old.
I know.
How dare you? Then again, imagine if you saw someone picking up like a flip phone, like a Razer phone right now. Those things were like the coolest. You'd be like, look at that relic. So anyway, he took a ton of style cues and looks from MySpace to form Space Hey, a cool place to hang out and just, you know, socialize with your friends online. He's got 500,000 people that are using it. That's it's just short of what we have listening to this podcast, obviously, but
just, I mean, just like, short. we're only we're only 500 or 495,995 short of 500,000.
Allegedly. I don't.
Allegedly.
I'm not going to sit here and listen to you slander me like that. But it does, of course, feature the worst part about MySpace. And this might be where our age difference even comes in. The downfall of MySpace was how you could insert your own HTML or CSS code to embed sparkling animated GIFs and whatnot, like a unicorn shit all over the internet. Well, that's still going to be a factor. You're still going to be able to do that in this newest iteration. So we can ruin it from the inside out or something, right?
Oh, see, I think that was the greatest part. I mean, like, oh, I'm Gregor. I would prefer to have a bunch of companies tracking me and using that data to then show me. When they get it right and they show you a product that you really like, I think we all say we don't like it, but realistically, I mean, I bought this thing to give my kid piggybacks ride, make piggyback rides easier, and it's awesome. And guess what? Would have never happened if they weren't tracking me. But anyway, the HTML and the CSS and like being able to do all of that stuff, I thought that was actually pretty cool. What was not cool was when you like went to Gregor's MySpace page and then all of the sudden freaking Neurosis was just blasting in your headphones because you were like, oh my God, like this is like you just forced everybody to listen to whatever you were listening to at the moment.
Also how it would like some pages, like if you didn't have like a fancy new computer, like half the pages you went to would be bogged down with bad code. But it's also a way that a lot of people learned how to use CSS code at the very onset of it. So,
well, and you think like maybe kids are smarter now. Right? Like kids are learning
technologically
more of this code
smarter
stuff at school, right? Like,
let's not say smarter, let's say more able.
More able, yeah. They're like better at computers.
Because I still feel like huffing stuff from a paper bag is a thing that kids would do. So it's like, I don't think they're necessarily smarter, just more capable.
I don't know. I think like there's been so many, I don't know how you call them, like DIY social media sites, not DIY, like companies have been behind these social media sites in the past I mean, if you have 500,000 followers, you have to have a good chunk of change in order to support that server space, right? But these companies that have come out and tried to say like, okay, what are the good parts of Facebook, Instagram, and this, that, and the other, put them together into a like new but actually good social media that ends up just becoming bad, right? Because you have to make the money. Like maybe there will be one. Maybe it's going to be Space Hay, or maybe it'll be something else that's like, hey, we took all of the racism and angriness out of Facebook and instead took all of the good parts and made a new social media platform, right? Like eventually that's got to happen. I would hope that that's going to happen, is that one of these newer platforms is going to take off and all of these old platforms that us olds are on will just die.
The phantasm of naked Elon Musk just went blowing by us like Also, the thing that you got to worry about is the people that take all the worst parts of these things and make it into a social media site so that way people can gather and be super racist together.
Yeah.
8chan. Yeah. So there we go. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I props to kids for being able to do that stuff and figure that out. And it's cool that you can, like, you know, self-fund your way through it without, like, a bunch of gatekeepers stopping you necessarily. Right. That's pretty...
I mean, it's probably only, like, 5 seconds until Facebook drops $1 billion on his front porch and says, nope, give us this, and then he takes it because you have to.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Or he gets a cease and desist from actual MySpace because they're like, can't be relevant anymore, and he's figured it out. So,
yeah.
Okay, so at the top of the show, Brandon, we asked a very important question of the week.
Yeah, question of the week. Basically, if you swap two parts of your body, what would be the most inconvenient?
Yeah, without being a human centipede, okay?
Right.
That's like a big important thing.
And like an example that I used was switching your left arm and your right arm, just because I feel like I'm hardly coordinated at it. I'm a pretty coordinated person, but I feel like if you flip those things around, I would be absolutely worthless. And plus, your arms would bend back. It would make like scratching your back a lot easier.
Yeah, scratching your front, though.
Oh, that's and you just like do the bear thing, right?
Well, it looks like you're humping.
Yeah.
You once said to me, which would you rather have?
A penis for nipples or nipples for your penises.
Yeah. I like how you made that plural somehow. So I feel like this is right up your alley. Now, look, this broke last fall, but to me it's new. For some reason, I saw this and I felt the immediate need to share it with Brandon. Like, I was just like, I have to talk to Brandon about this. Luckily, it was time to record this, so... it's a headline. I'm very juvenile about this, at iflscience.com. It happened last fall, but I just saw it. The headline, man ejaculates out of his anus for 2 years before seeking help.
Wait. Oh, wait. There are parts of this story that you did not translate to me, okay? Okay, I did not realize that this has been happening for 2 years before he tried to go find help.
Let me tell you the full story here. Okay. First of all, please tell me he had a bidet, because otherwise, gross.
Sticky.
From the article, a 33-year-old man sought medical attention after 5 days of pain in his testicles. This turned out to be the latest in a long line of problems in that general area. For the last 2 years, he had been passing gas in his urine called pneumaturia, urinating fecal matter, that's called and passing a substantial... I can't say that.
Oh.
I'll say the actual technical name. Urinating fecal matter, fecaluria, and passing a, quote, substantial amount of urine and semen from his rectum. There isn't even a fancy medical word for it. That's how rare this is. It continues. It sounds like when you get the jumper cables wrong when you're going to do the battery and you just hope the car doesn't explode. That sounds like what's going on here. It continues with a scan in the up your butt region that, quote, showed a gas-filled structure. Further tests confirmed the presence of a fistula, an abnormal passageway between the urethra and the rectum, through which the various fluids and solids had been passing. As well as repairing the fistula through surgery, the team looked for possible causes of the problem, but ruled out things such as tuberculosis, inflammatory bowel disease, rectal trauma, or penetration.
I mean, this is traumatic, so you cannot absolutely rule out rectal. Like, if it wasn't the cause, it is at least a symptom.
Let me just bring this thing on home for you. Upon further investigation, they found that 2 years prior, around the onset of symptoms, he had been in a 3-week coma following cocaine and PCP intoxication. During his hospital stay, he was fitted with a Foley catheter, during which the injury was likely caused. That means that he did so much cocaine that he fell into a coma. They stuffed a thing into his wiener to keep him functional or whatever, and that they just didn't quite aim it right.
Do you think it was a prank? Like, don't come in high on drugs to the hospital, and if you do, I'm going to put the tube in the wrong spot. Also, like, you know, like men who struggle with erectile dysfunction, and or men on antidepressants, there are so many advertisements that say, if you had an erection for longer than 4 hours, please seek medical advice, like, immediately.
If you have coming out
for 2 years.
Maybe that's what it says on there. If it happens for 2 years, you should contact your doctor immediately.
If that happens one time, go see somebody, right? Don't wait until it's like, oh, I mean, like, I get not liking to go to the doctor. I get that it can be expensive. If you were in a coma for 3 weeks, you've probably under an insurmountable amount of medical debt, like things like, especially if you were in there because you were high on PCP and cocaine, you probably don't have a lot of money. And I'm not trying to shame this person. I'm actually trying to say, like, I totally understand why you wouldn't feel comfortable going to the doctor.
Yeah.
Like, it's a scary place for even a person who's able to pay the bills.
Hey, Doc,
right?
I've got this problem. My butt cheeks are stuck together like a grilled cheese, and I don't know what's going on.
it's just like, God, like...
I don't know if that is the grossest analogy I've ever made, but it's close.
Oh my God!
You've peeled apart a grilled cheese to see what's in there. You're like, someone put pickles on this.
Stop!
Yeah, it smells sort of like the sea.
I feel like I'm in the middle of a basement remodel, if you know what I mean.
So was this guy.
I had to peel up a bunch of old vinyl tile that they had put down on top of concrete, and it's good. That's the image that I'm getting. It's just like, and it's the same color and everything too. It's not great. Not Robin's egg blue, let me tell you.
if you're in the same position and it is Robin's egg blue, again, see your doctor.
See your doctor. Like, okay, I mean, there's just so many things about this that just go to your doctor if you're out your butt. All right.
Oh boy. A study conducted by researchers at a ton of major universities concluded that your Amazon Echo smart speakers are tracking, profiling, and ad targeting you, the Amazon smart speaker ecosystem user. The report titled "No Duh" should come as news to no one. And finally, real quick, I just want to end on a cute note for people that have kids or, I don't know, that understand the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Actor Paul Bettany, who plays one of the longest-running Marvel characters, first as Jarvis in Iron Man's suit, and then as Vision when Jarvis gets a body of his own. I'm a real boy! Well, evidently...
I've never made that like that parallel before, the Pinocchio that comes to life. Yeah, that's cool.
Well, apparently he's the worst Avenger. And I think that's a bit harsh because I don't actually have an opinion because I can't really think of many other Avengers. I'm like, well, Iron Man is dope. And then there's that Spider-Man. And then, I don't know, I don't really like the Hulk very much, I guess. So,
sure.
But anyway, that's this decision was made harshly according to his own children who trolled their father brilliantly when Paul Bettany logs into his own Disney Plus at home to watch Moon Knight recently. He told Seth Meyers on whatever Seth Meyers show is called that he found the avatar for his streaming service, which is, of course, Vision, because you choose your little image. Okay, and that's him. They had changed the name to Worst Avenger. So now when he logs in on his own account, that is what he's told by his children. So,
dude, shout-outs to Paul Bettany, though, as an actor.
Wimbledon, right?
He was in The Replacements. He was the English kicker for the football team in The Replacements.
With Keanu Reeves?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
I was like, I haven't seen that movie, but I have seen that movie.
How about Knight's Tale with Heath Ledger?
Wait. Yeah. No, that's the other one that I've seen. What's the one where they do the Viking funeral at the end for someone who died and maybe Mel Gibson's in it?
Braveheart?
No, I might be overlapping my movies too. Yeah.
Knight's Tale is a terrible movie, but also a great movie. Heath Ledger is in it. Paul Bettany is in it. And it's the one where Heath Ledger learns how to joust, basically.
He's in Han Solo. He plays the bad guy in the Han Solo movie.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
Paul Bettany,
underrated.
Yeah, I agree.
I would say properly underrated. I feel like people overuse underrated.
Yeah.
Underrated, for sure.
I think so, too. All right, well, that just about does it for this week. It's time for us to take a look back to, I don't know, figure out what it is that we learned this week. Brandon, did you learn anything this week?
Yeah. I mean, I learned so much more than I wanted to. I truly, this week, this actual week, maybe not while we were talking on this show, but this week I learned about robin's eggs.
Oh, yeah. That's nice. Yeah. It's sad that sometimes when you learn something and you feel really stupid, but it is satisfying to understand when you find that the puzzle piece is actually an edge piece and you put it in. You're like, that's...
Yeah, it is satisfying. It's like, even though, one of the best things about... being a person is being able to admit when you were dumb. And if you are courageous enough to share with people when the dumb thing that you thought was dumb is that you were dumb, it's actually a really relieving thing. And when you have a show like this to be able to do it on,
For no one.
It's for nobody, it's even better because I get to admit that I'm dumb and know that nobody's listening.
Except for
Dave.
Yeah.
Shout out to Dave.
Dave Clark, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, what's up, dude?
To be fair, this show is just shy of 500,000 listeners, so it's not nobody, okay?
Just shy.
Just 499,000 and change.
995, yeah.
Yeah.
Gregor, what did you learn this week?
I learned that a disturbingly large portion of people replace milk in their cereal with orange juice. You monsters!
What are you doing? Also, show me your ways.
Yeah, like, how did you find this? And I want to know more.
I mean, like, we had to invent the root beer float somehow, right?
Dude, I want a root beer float now. That sounds delicious. Dude,
that with your larynx the way that it is right now, definitely don't do that.
Why not?
Oh, dude, like having, as somebody who had a lot of strep throat growing up until the doctor threatened to take my tonsils out if I got strep throat again, and I never got strep throat again, you are definitely not supposed to have creamy or like thick anything, cheeses, anything going down your...
Just hope they don't get those two tubes crossed. Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk. Next week at 10 a.m., it's an all-new Nerd Talk Plus. Hopefully, no, it's not. I'm off next week. I have to go to New Mexico on planned visit, so we're off next week, but we're back in a couple weeks' time with an all-new Nerd Talk Plus, one that hopefully talks a lot less about Thanks, Brandon.
Don't drive distracted.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.